Welcome to Growth Marketing Today, where marketers, designers, and product owners level up their growth marketing chops from experts in today's top startups. Here's your host, Ramley John.
Today I have Stuart Hillhouse. He is the head of audience growth at Customer Camp, as well as the host of the Top of Mind podcast. Now, podcasting isn't actually new. It's been around for over a decade now. However, it's experienced a massive rise in popularity. And it's not surprising at all. After all, it's low cost at creating new podcast episodes, and it's very easy to consume podcasts the way that is now being distributed to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And those qualities have made this medium the perfect vehicle for those who would like to build a powerful personal brand. In this episode, Stuart Hillhouse shares how he used podcasting as a way to build his personal brand. In episode 128, you'll learn first how he measures the success of his podcast, and hint, it's not the number of downloads of each episode. Second, how to get over the fear of putting yourself out there. And third, Stuart's podcast creation system. Now, before we jump in, I've created a free growth cheat sheet with all the actionable tips from Stuart in this episode in a 2-page PDF. Seriously, why take notes about this podcast when you can just steal mine? You can go to growtoday.fm/128 or find that link in the description. And hurry, I take this episode's cheat sheet away after I publish next week's episode. I also want to thank those who made this episode possible. Now, these folks helped cover the cost of hosting and marketing tools so I can focus on getting amazing experts that you and I can learn from. Thanks to LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn is an undiscovered gold mine for many advertisers. One thing I love about advertising on LinkedIn is how you can target by very exclusive criteria that you will not find anywhere else, such as company growth rate, job seniority, job title skills, and more. So whether you're looking to generate leads, drive website traffic, and build brand awareness, LinkedIn advertising can help you reach your business goals. Get $100 advertising credit to watch your first LinkedIn campaign for free at linkedin.com/growtoday. Well, enough about this. Let's jump into my chat with Stuart. All right. Hey, everybody. I'm excited to chat with Stu. We're actually connected because he's also a fellow podcaster, and we're going to talk about his podcasting journey and just his journey on really growing his network, so that I think I read on your site you wanted to travel the world and drink beers at different patios or something like that, right? Is that correct?
Yeah, that was kind of a lofty goal that I somehow thought of last summer. So about a year ago, I was kind of hanging out and thought, how cool would it be to be able to travel anywhere in the world and write on Twitter or LinkedIn or whatever social media you're using, hey, I'm going to be in this city. Any recommendations? Or does anyone in my network want to go get dinner? Like, we've never met in person before, but how cool would that be to be able to go anywhere and jump into a real life hangout with someone who knows and likes and trusts you based on your internet personality, right?
That's true.
And so that was kind of like my lofty vision of what it could be. Cause I don't know. I was thinking about like social media, and I was thinking about my career, and I was thinking about just the stuff going on that the internet is enabling. And I didn't want to be like internet famous, but I just wanted to be able to jump on and like grab a beer with someone, because that's the best kind of relationship.
That's funny you say that. I was talking to Derek. He's like the head of content at Conversion Excel, and he called it marketing famous people. And I'm like, I've never heard of that term, marketing famous. It's because they're famous in the marketing circles, but nowhere else, nobody else knows them. But you're right. I think that would be cool, just to like travel around. It's kind of hard right now, but you know, hopefully soon. Even within Canada, it's cool to travel around Canada knowing different marketers. There's actually a lot of marketers based out of Canada, surprisingly, especially copywriters, it seems.
Yeah, no, well, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, I like that idea of being famous in a certain group, because, and this is probably going to wrap up or get into this later, but you don't need to be known by hundreds of thousands of people. Like, you just need to be known by the right people in the industry, actually in the sub industry of a bigger industry, in order to make a living from the work you do. And so that was kind of a realization too, is you don't want to actually be famous. You just want to be known for the right things by the right people.
Right. What is that term? What is that theory? The 100 fans or something like that? Or like, Have you heard of it?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I think that was Kevin Kelly that did like 1,000 true fans.
Yeah, there you go. The true fans theory, where you just need really 1,000 true fans to make a living and, you know, just travel around. Is that your goal? Like to get that 1,000 true fans that anything you put out there, a book or, you know, some kind of membership, then you have those fans to really support you.
I think that would be kind of a nice outcome, but I've also read recently that he's kind of like gone out and said, actually, I was wrong. Like 1,000 is too many. You can't even know 1,000 people. So he's saying like, go for 100, like 100 people giving you, 100 people giving you $1,000 a year is a way bigger salary than most people get in their entire lifetime. Like $100,000 if 100 people give you $1,000, which isn't outrageous if you have like a software product or something, or you consult for like a small thing. So I don't know. It's probably like in the back of my mind, I'm not really concerned with the monetary side of things right now, because I'm seeing so much growth and excitement on just the being able to have conversations like this. This is like what's getting me really excited right now. True transparency, I'm not making a dollar from my podcast or any of this stuff I'm doing online, but it's enabled me to be in opportunities to meet people now that 2 years from now, we might see each other in person and you might have something that you need help with and I can offer that tiny service. Could that lead to $1,000? Could that happen 100 times a year? Could be.
No, it will definitely. I mean, I'm a living proof of that. Like a lot of the work I'm doing now are with past guests, like the work I'm doing with Wes Bush at Product Led Growth is because I got him as a guest on the podcast. And then we just started chatting with that. So I'm really excited for you. Anyway, let's talk about that. I know I'm skipping ahead of myself. You have this podcast called Top of Mind Podcast. Can you tell me a little bit about why you started this podcast and, you know, what it's all about?
Yeah, absolutely. So my show is called Top of Mind, and I started it about 6 months ago as I was transitioning from a kind of startup consultancy that I was working on into the marketing world. So I didn't really have any formal education in marketing. I just read a couple of books and was really excited about it. And then I was able to get a full-time job and as a way to learn so that I actually knew what I was doing when I went to my day job was to study other people. And so reading only gets you so far. I was like, well, I kind of want to talk to the people who are practitioners in this. And so I'd had a podcast previously, and that the purpose of that one was to learn the mechanics of it, because I'd been listening for years and I'd never been behind the mic. And there's a lot more to it behind the mic than just being a listener. So that previous one I started, and it was all about the circular economy, which is kind of a concept that's not super well known in North America, but in Europe, it's really actively practiced. And I just started reaching out to strangers using Twitter and LinkedIn, being like, hey, do you want to, that's where I learned my, how to pitch my show, how to cold email people, how to do the mechanics of giving them a Zoom link, making sure we show up at the same time, recording, being able to manage a conversation as a host and prepare questions and research. And then that's only like to get the conversation. And then there's the editing side, and then there's the distribution, and then there's the audience building and all that stuff. So on my previous show, built that out to like, I did 10 episodes. And by the 10th episode, I had the head of sustainability of H&M clothes ready to do an interview with me.
That's crazy.
And I was like, oh, wow, this is so powerful. Like, yeah. How did that happen? Mm. So I had to stop it because I wasn't going into that industry. But with what I learned, I realized how powerful the positioning and the opportunities are for people who put themselves out there and ask questions and want to meet with people. So that was the main thought behind starting Top of Mind is I don't know what I'm doing yet in this industry, but the best way to do it is to practice it during the day and then learn from other practitioners at night. And so I've been able to connect with people around specific questions I have about a project I'm working on. I can ask people about work that they're doing that I'm interested in maybe evolving into that role at some point. I can ask people questions about like certain tech trends and marketing trends that are going on. So I've left it open-ended on purpose because I don't know where my career is going to go with it. But the ability to make it my own and the fact that people are interested in listening is just a kind of a byproduct of willing to talk to people about marketing. Mm,
yeah, totally. I really relate to that experience. You know, like I started this podcast 2.5 years ago, like not out of curiosity. How do I start a podcast? And then I'm here now and like really connecting with people, like for example, yourself and other folks. Like, I totally relate to one thing you said where when you're stuck with a problem, like for example, last year I was trying to create some onboarding emails for this one of my clients. And it was my first time. So I Googled onboarding emails, found the person who wrote a blog post and sent a cold email to get her on the podcast so I could pick her brain about like how she put together this concept. So like, yeah, that totally relate with that.
But what you just said there about picking someone's brain, like that's what we're taught when we're younger, like that's what networking is. Cause that's what networking used to be. It was like, go find the most successful person you can, ask them for coffee, and then you'll like learn. It's not true though. And it's not that used to be the only way to do it. There is so many other ways to do just what you said, described, like picking someone's brain, which is kind of a gross analogy, but there's 1,000 ways to do that that are more effective and better and easier to do than setting up a coffee date with someone, especially now that we can't go out for coffee with strangers. The internet is like the best way to do that. And so the podcasting is really the modern version of networking, in my opinion.
Yeah, I totally agree. That was something that I've been reflecting about as well. You know, like the chances of you cold emailing somebody, asking them to pick their brain and get them on coffee the chances of them saying yes is very, very low because they probably get a lot of emails about that. But if you have an audience, you know, they get something in return, right? You're able to promote their stuff. They're able to spread the message or whatever it is. If you're talking to marketers hopefully love to market themselves, right? And this is a great place for it to be that.
Yeah. I think everyone, maybe this is just the echo chamber of the marketing world and the marketing pocket of the world where we're like, oh, like everyone knows how important content is. And maybe they do, but chances are they don't. So we by nature understand the value of a message being shared more than once without having to put in extra effort, right?
Yeah.
Like you can record this once and it can get listened to forever from here on out. It's an endless asset. A coffee date with someone is a one-time asset.
You're right. That's a good point.
And it's not even being documented. So it's not even an asset. It's just a waste of time because it's not going to be put towards building out this like network of what you're known for. Other than that kid you're just going to meet coffee with, they could tell someone, they're like, oh, this person's really willing to go get coffee. And now you're known as the person who's super easy to get a hold of and is always willing to go get coffee, which you probably don't want to be known for.
That's a good point. Really good point. We're talking a lot about podcasting, but I went to your website. I read this blog post that you talked about where, you know, after podcasting for some time, your top of mind has been out since February, right? You know, you shared 5 lessons. I think people really relate because people are thinking about starting podcasts. And one of the big things that is stopping people is, well, there's so many podcasts. What am I, you know, what do I have to offer in the world? So, you know, maybe you can share a little bit about your lesson. And the first lesson you put down is that you really need to act as a reporter in the field rather than a thought leader, like you're trying to make yourself like Gary Vee. So what do you mean by this first lesson? And can you share a little bit about this?
Totally. So the lesson was to act like a reporter. So when you think about a field reporter or someone who works for a newspaper, they're not an expert. They're a journalist who is doing their job, which is go to a situation that is complicated and has nuances and ask enough questions to form an idea of what's going on and then write about it and send that out to the world so that people who have zero interest or zero idea that that even happened can be informed about it going on. So we kind of forget that no one else in the world has the same interests that you do. And you and I are both interested in growth marketing, and podcasting. So like we have two huge overlaps, but like you're wearing the Toronto Raptors hat. Like I've maybe watched 3 basketball games in my whole life. Right.
Yeah.
So if you started using basketball analogies, it'd be way more like that's a thing that you have that's unique to you. And so if this was a marketing and basketball podcast, like that's super unique. But you're not an expert in marketing or basketball. You're an expert in marketing and basketball. So that's kind of what I mean by act as a reporter is you don't need to be the best in the world at that topic when starting. Like a thought leader is kind of what you think of when you think of people who are big on social media. That's the worst idea of what you should be going for. Cause they're just making like Gary Vee at this point, at one point he was a practitioner. Now he's just an influencer, right? He's just making these like huge ideas, kind of lofty comments on like what's going on because he's not in the trenches anymore with his fingers on the keyboard writing YouTube descriptions, right? He has team for that right now. So he went from being here, I'm going to learn how to use YouTube to my advantage to being an agency owner. So now he's gone into a different role. But when you're starting off, be that reporter. And it makes it so much easier because then you're never wrong. You're just learning as you go. And so you don't need to think that every post needs to be like perfect. And you frame it that way too. You say, hey, I'm learning about this. So rather than making it like in the affirmative saying, here are the secrets to being a podcaster, you say, here's what I've learned from being a podcaster for 6 months. And it attracts the audience you're looking for because you're not looking for thought leaders to read your stuff and be like, I agree. You're looking for people who are like a few levels below you who can actually learn from you.
Right. That totally makes sense. And I think you're leading towards that already is people have this, you know, ideal goal. Like, oh, I'm going to launch this podcast. It's going to reach millions of people and it's going to get 1,000 downloads every episode and more. And the second lesson you shared was that you were talking about it already, sharing your lesson, sharing values over like likes and listen. You know, one of the things that when people don't think about it that way, one of the things that could happen is people get discouraged. So I'm curious what your thoughts are on that around stopping people from being discouraged, especially early on when listeners and downloads might be very low in the beginning.
Absolutely. And they will be. Here's the PSA. Here's the PSA. If you're listening and you have a podcast, you know that it's true. If you're wanting to get one started or even start like a brand, a newsletter, a YouTube channel, like anything that needs to start, it's going to be super slow. So it's good that it's going to be super slow because you're going to make so many mistakes at the beginning. And what I've found too is you actually want it to be really slow because then you can actually get to know the people who are your early adopters. Like these are early, early adopters because you haven't even found your voice yet. Like I don't even know what my podcast is going to be about a year from now, right? So these are my like early, early adopters. And there's going to be a handful of them. Like right at the beginning, it'll be crickets. Depends on where you're posting. Like there's not a whole lot of feedback you get from podcast platforms. So I'd suggest having like podcasting and then a more social media like Twitter or LinkedIn. I've personally gone the LinkedIn route and you kind of just start a slow momentum of posting a couple times a week and then get it up to every day and you'll see reoccurring faces kind of show up and like comment or that will direct message you or whatever. Don't ignore these people. Like they actually like what you're saying. So talk to them back because we have this kind of glorified idea that having an audience is so awesome because you just like put something out in the ether and everyone just loves you. But that's lonely. Like there's no engagement there. So even the idea of having 100,000 people who follow you, you can't engage with 100,000 people, but you can engage with 10 people. So if you have 10 people from your audience, you can just like consistently just like reach out to you. They'll reach out to you. You reach out to them and you just actually get to learn who they are because it's going to be it's a lonely and long journey. So you may as well make friends along the way. And so that's what I found is like actually reaching out to these people and learning who they are is just like the most rewarding part of that early growth because it's not going to be like that a year later. because you're going to have too many people who want your time. At this point, the best thing you can offer is your time with the people who are sitting there for 45 minutes listening to your conversation because they value what you have to say.
I totally agree. And I'm curious. I think you're starting to lead towards it. I think you're trying to say that early on, your success criteria shouldn't be downloads and likes. It should be, and you're talking about it, connections. Is that correct?
If you're going to go for downloads and likes, like you're eventually going to turn into like a clickbait machine.
That's true.
And I don't see that as a super sustainable career path, right? I'm using this as a tool for bigger things later on. I'm not looking for immediate return. But the return I am getting is from those connections, which I just have to put in time and effort. And then in return, I get a new person from somewhere in the world who, through the magic of the internet, found my stuff, found me interesting enough to go to a different app, open up Spotify, find my podcast, listen to 45 minutes, which is a crazy amount of time for someone to pay attention to what I have to say, and then come back and say, "Hey, Stuart, that was great. Thank you." So like that, the amount of time you've just occupied in a person's day, like that's like 3 or 4% of a person's day that you had complete control over. That's a huge responsibility. And so I see podcasting and writing to be the best way to actually build those relationships, because the people you're attracting are the ones who care rather than blowing up on TikTok. Those people have zero connections with any of the people who are following them. So yes, they might have 6 extra zeros after the amount of likes that they get on that post, but I bet they didn't have 6 times more engagement or like actual conversations with those people.
That, yeah, I totally agree. I keep saying I totally agree, but it's rung true for me with this podcast. There's 2 things I measure success for this podcast. None of them is downloads. The first one is, I didn't make a real connection with my guests. And second, did I learn something new with this conversation? So you're totally right there. I actually want to ask you if you think everybody should have a podcast, or maybe not everybody. That's a little too broad. But if people who want to quote unquote network, should they start a podcast right now?
If you don't start it right now, you're gonna wish you did. I don't know. Like that's a good question. Do you think everyone should?
I think in some sense, yes. I think it does make sense, especially for people who I'm not a big guy with networking. I'm actually an introvert. I don't like going to those big networking events. So I think especially if you're introverted and you want to make real connections with people, especially in any career, relationships are super important, I would suggest. Mm-hmm. So I think what I'm leading to is, I'm skipping ahead to your 4th lesson, which is being a doer, because...
Well, I can answer the question too. I didn't mean to just like deflect it. I have a few points.
Sure,
just wanted
jump
to see
in.
What you're thinking.
Jump in.
No, I don't think everyone should, right? Like if you have never listened to a podcast, right? Like it's not the channel, right? If you love to write, start writing. If you love to make videos, start making videos. If you love to speak, then it should be a podcast. But I think everyone who desires to have some type of momentum from now until like, it doesn't even need to just be career, but this is just like life lessons. Like by putting yourself out there and creating, you're developing muscles that some people in the world just will never even understand. And it follows you. So I threw around the word asset before, but we're only at the beginning of what internet economy is going to look like in the future. So by starting to plant the seeds right now of, oh, here's what Romley's ideas were like in 2018, you can go back and all of a sudden you've got like a documented history of your thought process over time and how you've developed. And so when you go to get a new job, you can literally point them to a URL and show them, hey, here's what I've built. Like resumes are going to be useless because now they're going to be hyperlinks. It's going to be like, what have you done? And if someone just starts like riffing off like, oh, I was manager of this, they're like, okay, cool. What proof is there of that? by starting something, whether it's written, whether it's vocal, whether it's video, you have then something that is proof of the effort you've put in. And that might not be for everyone and definitely isn't for every industry. Like, I don't think certain professions require documentation. Like, there's so many hoops you have to go through to be a X, Y, Z kind of profession. But that doesn't stop certain people. Like, there's this one guy, I can't remember his name, on YouTube, who's like a full-time doctor and a full-time YouTuber. And he's making more money off YouTube than on being a doctor. But he's like, I don't care. I'm just a, like, I want to be a doctor, but I figured, hey, I'm studying. I may as well teach people how I studied for this medical exam. And then he learned from that that people really like to learn how to note keep using digital tools. And so then he's like been able to pivot his YouTube channel as he grows as an individual from student to intern to eventual just full-time doctor. He's going to have now like the secondary piece of income, which I bet he didn't start doing it for. He started to meet other students and going into med school, right? So it's going to follow you along and it'll evolve with you. So long story short, don't do it if you want to get famous. Do it if you want to build something that is going to change the trajectory of where you're going.
When we come back in just a moment, Stuart shares his exact podcast creation system. Just a quick thanks to our sponsor for this episode, LinkedIn. Now, LinkedIn is an undiscovered goldmine for many advertisers. One thing I really love about advertising on LinkedIn is how you can target by very exclusive and specific criteria that you won't find anywhere else, such as company growth rates, so you can reach fast-growing organizations, job seniorities, so you can target the decision makers and close deals quicker, job titles, so you can focus your advertising specific to your ideal customer profile, and more. Whether you're looking to generate leads, drive website traffic, or build brand awareness, LinkedIn advertising can help you reach your business goals quicker. Do business where business is done. Get free $100 advertising credit towards your first LinkedIn campaign at linkedin.com/grow today, or find that link in the description. That's it for this episode. Let's jump back in my chat with Stuart. Yeah, I totally agree. I think you're right there with, you know, if you love, it's a good point. If you love making videos, but make some videos. If you like to write, then go write. I think one of the fears I had early on, and this, I feel like this is a common fear, because I was talking to my wife. She's trying to build she's actually trying to build a YouTube channel. And one of the things stopping people from doing or writing or creating or making videos or launching a podcast is fear. And I'm curious what's your thoughts on that. What would be your advice for people to get over that fear of releasing this thing to the world? Because there will be trolls. They'll definitely, that's a guarantee with the internet, is there will be trolls out there. And you know, if you have a big enough name, you know, they will try to tear you down.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think actually that trolls, yes, like they'll come out once you start making enough noise. But I think it's the people in non-digital world that make people so fearful. It's like, oh, what are my closest friends going to say at the dinner I'm going to next week? They're going to turn to you and they're going to be like, hey, Ramli, like, how's that podcast? And then you're going to kind of like shrink, because how awkward is it to talk about your podcast in front of people who don't understand? They could be curious, and in which case, I hope that they would actually support you and like ask more direct questions rather than just like a check-in. But if people are saying like, oh, how 2020 of you to start a podcast, right? Like, those people just don't get it. So, but they're your real life people. So it has a lot more weight, I feel. Like, those people are, you can't just like close the tab and ignore. I guess you can just walk away from them. So I don't know. I guess at that point, you need to have enough support from people in real life or in a digital community who are doing the same thing as you're doing. You can't just be a candle in the wind trying to stay alive if you have no one else to learn from and no one else going through the same stuff. Because you can't talk about this with people who have never published a blog. It doesn't align with anything that is kind of common knowledge taught through like elementary school. Like, no one has the same, no one will understand what you're doing unless they've done it themselves. they can be kind of empathetic, but they're never going to, they can be sympathetic. They can't be empathetic.
That's true. That's a good point.
And so I think the way I've dealt with it is find people online. I'm super lucky that I have a very supportive like family and physical people around me who are supporting it. But I do feel that weirdness when someone's like, oh yeah, like I listened to your podcast. I'm like, oh, it's okay. I don't have that reaction when someone online says, hey, listen to it. It was fine. It was great. That for some reason is like, oh, awesome. I've got a new person, a new listener. Whereas when it's in real life, the person said, oh, I listened to it. It was great. You're like, oh my God, that's so weird.
That's so funny. No, that's,
I don't know. Whoever's able to figure out and describe what that phenomenon is. Like, I think that's a new thing that, yeah, tons of people, like I feel it for sure. But yeah, having support networks online and in person are key.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it totally makes sense to have that support network and really like rallying you. And when you started this off, did you pitch it to your family or friends and then really got their, you know, your support network in place first, or it just really naturally evolved before you launch your podcast?
Yeah, it definitely existed beforehand. So I was super fortunate in my situation. But I've had to, it's also been a great way for me to explain myself in a marketing sense. Like I've had to figure out how to market myself to people who don't care, or at least to bring it up in a conversation, right? And then that's kind of a way to get better at talking about what it is you do. Like you kind of that's kind of a classic entrepreneurship exercise, is like, describe your company. Like, what do you do? And then you should be able to do it in like 5 words or something. It's like, oh, what do you do? Oh, I record a podcast and then I have a weekly newsletter and then I do this. And they're like, okay, that doesn't make sense to me, right? So I kind of got lost on what my thought there was. But really, like, yeah, if you don't have it in person, just keep looking online, because I guarantee you there's at least a group of 10 people. And 10's all you need. I guarantee you there's 10 people who are in a niche that's specific to what you're trying to do, who have already assembled, and it's just up to you to find them and be part of it.
That totally makes sense. You know, I'm part of a few Facebook groups that's related to podcasting. They have been quite helpful when I'm asking for advice there. I want to shift gears and talk about I'm going backwards here with your third lesson about how permission is optional. You don't really need to ask for permission. And you actually have a great story around that. I saw that tweet that really captures this lesson. So what do you mean by, you know, permission is optional?
Yeah, I learned that one kind of through Twitter, in the sense that you don't need permission to write back to someone who's tweeted, because by publishing online, you've kind of opted into this idea that people can take it and run with it or write back or edit in some way. That's kind of just going to be the reality of your life from here on out. And that has upsides and downsides, but the idea is here that you don't need to ask permission to be the student of someone else. Just because you aren't able to meet them in person, they're too busy, like they've got too many followers, they're in a different country than you, like you're never going to maybe ever meet them in person, but that doesn't mean they can't be a mentor of yours. And so what I've kind of started doing is finding people who have accomplished something, but making it super specific. Like I don't want to just say kind of my earliest person who I looked up to, who I didn't know, was like Tim Ferriss. I was given one of his books and after reading it, I was like, wow, I really admire this guy. But I don't admire everything about him. Or that's a danger, is to just try and become the person you admire on the internet or in a book or on TV, or like this is like, I'm just using the internet as generally figures, like public figures who you follow, whether they're a super famous person or they're a micro influencer who writes poetry that you really enjoy. Right. I'm just using that broadly from here on out, but find people who have accomplished something in a very specific part of your life that you want to get good at too. And so for, I'd say I still have Tim as in my kind of arsenal of mentors, but he would just be on the kind of trajectory, like how to learn how to grow online. Because he's a perfect case study. I can look back. He's been doing this for 15 years. So I can be like, okay, 15 years ago, where was he? And what mistakes did he make that I can avoid in going from like a hyper niche podcast or a hyper niche blogger into what he is now, which is just like this lifestyle design guy. Like he wasn't that at the beginning, right? But then I can also find people in finance. I can find people in relationships. I can find people in design, in art, in music, like find people in every single part of the of your life that you cherish and then model how they do it. So at the end of it, you become like this Frankenstein version of all the people you admire, but you don't, you're not a replica of any of them. You're taking the best part of a specific part of their life and applied it to yours. So that's what I mean is kind of, you don't need to ask them permission to steal from them their best and brightest ideas and then apply it to your life. You can just do it. And so that was a big kind of twist is like you traditionally think that you need to go shake your mentor's hand and get coffee with them every month or whatever. I've never had a person like that, but I have five or six people who weekly are in my inbox or in my earphones or I'm watching their YouTube videos who are like, here's what I'm thinking about and I can apply it or I can say that's not relevant right now. But that input is kind of essential to have a unique output. I think.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And, you know, you mentioned Tim Ferriss, and one of the things that he's really big at is systems. And that's, you know, I'm trying to lead into the last lesson you have, which is about how if you don't have systems, you'll fail. And I've read Tim Ferriss. I'm not sure if you read his 4-hour work week book, but, you know, that's all he's about is about like building the systems. And even with growth marketing, people talk about hacks all the time, but a lot of the big people, the marketing influencers that I've talked to in growth have really emphasized process and systems over hacks. So I'm curious for you yourself, what kind of systems have you stolen from your mentors or systems that you've like really applied to what you're doing now with your podcast, with building out, you talked about LinkedIn.
Yeah. And I use the word stolen because it's, as long as you're applying it to your life and you make it your own, why would you not take something that is already working and make it your own, right? That's another mindset shift that you need to make if you want to kind of be consistent with your work is don't reinvent it every single time. Like no one has ever reinvented themselves every time they had to like sit down at a keyboard. They have to build on their previous experiences. And that's kind of the system question you just asked is I've got this podcast before even starting it. Like I made it part of my kind of personal manifesto of like writing down what I wanted this to be, saying like this is going to be a 5-year project. I don't think I did 5 years. I think I did 3 years. I think I said this is a 3-year project. And so the design of it had to be with sustainability in mind. I wasn't just going to do this for 2 months and just see, like, if I don't have 100,000 downloads, I'm going to quit. It's like at 3 years of being consistent, meaning I wanted to do it weekly. And that was kind of the first like version, right? At 3 years, then I'll decide what I want to do with this. And so if you're going to do something seriously, you need to have some type of system in place. And so I've finally been able to kind of figure out it's not going to be perfect from the beginning. You're going to do so many things manually that you wish you could automate, but don't worry about tech. Like don't let tech be a thing that holds you back at the beginning. Do it the clunky way. Do it the clunky way at least 5 times until you then can realize, okay, here's what about the clunkiness I need to fix, and then find the solution. Because you can always throw money at something later, but at the beginning, figure out what actually you want to get from it in the clunkiest way possible so that you can then know where to spend your money wisely in the future. Because again, like you're not making money yet. So it's easy to just say like, oh, a couple $100 here, there. All of a sudden you've spent $1,000 on and you haven't even launched an episode, right? So don't worry about that yet. So my system, I'll just like, would it be interesting for me to just like describe how I go from not knowing a person to having them on my podcast and then sharing it?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, sure. So I've been using LinkedIn as my number one spot to connect with people. And that's usually through just kind of being active in the communities. So like when there's a post by someone, that's how I found you. You either shared something or it was shared by someone else. So like a second degree connection. And then I added you, and here's the key, is you have to have a message. And the message was like, hey, Ramley, saw this thing that you did. And I was specific with what it was that you did and like an idea that you had that was unique. And I was like, very cool. I love what you're thinking about there. I'd love to see more of your content and get to know more about your work. Sign off. That's it. And then that works 80% of the time, I swear.
It does.
People will accept as long as you have some type of personality to it. And then, and then you kind of just like engage that person. If the person is like super active, you can just kind of keep tabs on what they're doing. And then when you've kind of commented enough times in their posts or it's contextual, just going to depend on a ton of things. So use your own way of doing it, but then reach out to the person and say, hey, I've got a podcast where I interview, in my case, I interview top marketers and creatives who are moving the culture forwards. If I send you more information, would you be interested in joining? And so that's why, going back to like early in the conversation, having the podcast is so crucial, because now there's a outcome that they can see. It's like an easy yes. It's like, I know that I'm going to be doing an interview, and I know that there's going to be a recording afterwards that I can share with my network. So there's value for them joining you. And then I do research on the person, usually just checking out kind of like what you did here, where you found an old blog post of mine and we just talked about it, right? That's a super great way to set someone up for success in a conversation, is talk about something that they know about. You made this super easy for me. But then you can throw in questions. Like we went off topic here, which is great. And by doing research, it shows, and the guest loves it too. Then once you finish, I've been starting to use a new software called Descript. It is unbelievable. So you drag in your audio clips and it transcribes it immediately for you. And then it's like you're editing a Word document. So you highlight a sentence that doesn't make sense. You highlight filler words like, and you highlight those, and then you hit the delete button, and it snaps the audio there for you. So you don't even need to edit the audio. You do it through the transcript. And that has sped up my editing, because I still edit myself. I haven't outsourced that yet, because I get so much value from re-listening to the conversations. And because it's written in front of me, I have one monitor with the Descript open, and I have another monitor with Evernote open. And as I'm listening to the conversation, I'm highlighting aha moments. I'm highlighting the actual transcript of the aha moment, copying it, putting it in my Evernote with a headline. So like as a marketer, you're kind of like always writing headlines. So I'll write a headline saying like, how could this grab someone's attention? And then I keep playing. So I'm like kind of real-time editing and creating written assets at the same time. So a 45-minute episode might take me an hour and a half to re-listen. But at the end of that hour and a half, I've now got a finished podcast episode and at least 500 or 600 words already written that I can then turn into something else later. And then, so when I'm done editing, I export it. And then I use a podcast hosting platform called Becast. And I chose that one because it's got kind of a growth. The way it's being built is meant for marketing. So I can change out what the pre and post ad is if I want to at some point. And the founder of that company I found by networking and podcasting. And so he was able to get a customer out of me. I was able to get a really great deal on working with him. I'm able to promote it, and he's able to promote me. And so like, it's those kind of relationships, rather than being like the third millionth user of Anchor, right? Nothing wrong with using Anchor, like the free tools, but you find these relationships that way. And so then the podcast goes live. I've now got all this written content in that Evernote that I can use for my LinkedIn content for that week. I'm in the process of updating my website, but I'm going to then have a kind of summary with those five key aha moments, like literally highlighted. So for people who prefer reading, they can read it. There's still the podcast at the top. And then when it goes live, I then have these assets that I can also share with the guests and be like, look, here are the five key moments in the episode. This is going to be really good content for you to use. And then that's when the kind of magic happens of them sharing your show, and then you grow from their network. So that whole process from not knowing someone to publishing and having all these new assets that are under my name and are overlapping with someone super interesting is about 6 or 7 hours worth of like time, including the hour long session of recording. So depending on how you value your time, if you're putting out $100 an hour, $700 to now all of a sudden have met someone who in the future could get me a job, could be a partner who I can support, who's now like a person in my network. I think that $700 is super well spent.
Yeah, agree. We have a very similar process. I've started using Descript as well in December. I think I saw something on LinkedIn or Twitter about somebody using it. It's amazing, right? Like it's like magic.
Oh, it's so changing. It can separate out
the
speakers. Yeah.
Like it can identify when you're speaking versus the other person. So amazing. Yeah,
it's unbelievable. So I would highly recommend people check out that if you're already in the podcast game. It's like it's something like $100 a year. It's so worth it. But if you're not, but start with GarageBand. Start with GarageBand. See how difficult it is. But if you can persevere for those 5 episodes on GarageBand and you can wrangle up $100, or you can even better get a sponsorship to pay for that $100, then all of a sudden you're at break even again. And now your productivity just increased crazy. But it's that written stuff is like, that's a new add-on for me. Start small. Don't overdo it. Don't be like, oh, I'll publish a blog post along with every episode. Like when you're starting, just force yourself to get an episode out every single week. No one's going to be listening. Don't worry about it. But the consistency does matter. That's the only thing I'm going to say is like, you have to have consistency and your quality needs to just improve over time, but you're not going to improve unless you're doing it consistently. So they're kind of hand in hand.
Yeah. I think you're starting to lead to my second to the last question about if you had any other advice for people who are interested about starting a podcast, or let's make it broader and like people who want to write and people who want to make videos, people who want to create, people who want to make podcasts. What would be your advice for them? One or two pieces of advice now that you've been doing this consistently for the past few months already.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, consistency. It's crucial for your inner dialogue, like to maintain momentum and think that you're achieving the thing you want. Because there are going to be weeks where you're like, oh my God, like I don't want to get on an interview right now. But you have to. So don't make it an option. Like set it as part of your day that you know every Monday night you're editing. So block that in your calendar that friends can't make plans with you Monday night. That is the reality of it, right? This is going to be a part-time job. You are going to need to commit time towards it. You can also outsource it, but instead of it being $700 worth of like my time, it's going to be $700 real dollars.
That's a good point.
Right? Yeah. So you can do that if you have the means, sure. But early on, like, learn the mechanics, which is why I say start with GarageBand, learn the mechanics of every part of the puzzle, because then you can find areas where you can personally improve. You can find the parts of the process that you really enjoy. Like I really enjoy the early networking part. I really enjoy the researching my guests. I really enjoy pulling the nuggets, but I don't really enjoy editing, right?
Yeah.
If I could find someone and hire someone who re-listens to an episode and does exactly what I do and has the same kind of brain waves and knows what I would find interesting, then I'd outsource it for sure if I could afford it, right? But at the beginning, I won't know that until you do it manually. So learn the mechanics before you put any effort into scaling. Like, do not worry about scaling because if you have problems in your process while you're small and you try and scale, like you put effort towards getting subscribers, or you put effort towards getting newsletter readers, or you put effort towards like getting a YouTube audience, but you haven't even figured out how to publish consistently without pulling your hair out at the like last minute, you're going to hate trying to be consistent. And the followers you just built are going to be like, why did I subscribe? This guy's doesn't like this. He doesn't like creating this content. So get good at it before you put any effort towards scaling, but the scaling is going to come naturally. It might not be fast, as fast as you want it to be, but there's tons of mechanics out there to scale. Like, and I don't know them yet, right? I'm not at that point. So I would be lying if I tried saying, oh, it's super easy to scale. Like, I don't know. I've never tried it. But what I am doing is building this baseline where I learn about my audience. I learn how about myself, and I learn how to make it sustainable so I can be doing this for years.
That totally makes sense. And just one final question for people who want to find out more about you. Where would you send them? Do you want to send them to your website, your podcast, LinkedIn, all of the above?
Yeah, add me on LinkedIn. That's I can, if you add me on LinkedIn, Stuart Hillhouse, Stewart, and then Hillhouse, Hillhouse. Add me on LinkedIn. Say you met me through this podcast, or you heard about this through the podcast, and I'll send you all the stuff that you need to know. So LinkedIn's the number one spot.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for your time, Stuart. I really appreciate it.
Oh yeah, really love it. Thanks, Bramley.
Well, that's it for this episode. I want to remind you to download the free growth cheat sheet with all the actionable tips from Stuart in a 2-page PDF. Seriously, why take notes when you can just steal mine? Go to growthtoday.fm/128 to get it now. You can also find this in the description of the show. Now, before I end, I just want to thank those who made this episode possible. They cover the cost of hosting and other marketing tools to make this show happen. Thank you to LinkedIn. LinkedIn is an undiscovered goldmine for many advertisers. One thing I really love about LinkedIn is how you can target by very exclusive criteria that you will not find anywhere else, such as company growth rate, job seniority, job title, skills, and more. So whether you're looking to generate leads, drive website traffic, and build brand awareness, LinkedIn advertising can help you reach your business goals. Get $100 advertising credit to launch your first LinkedIn campaign for free at linkedin.com/growthtoday. Please also support me. There's two easy ways. You can share a quote on Twitter or LinkedIn and tell a friend about this. That's the first one. Second, you can join the Grow Today mailing list where you'll get the growth cheat sheet from each episode emailed to you. And third, please leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I would really appreciate that so more people can find out about the show. Well, that's it for the show. Until the next one, this is your host, Bramley John. Keep safe. And as always, keep on growing.